Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. As we know, the conflict and violence in the workplace has been on the rise for the last decade, which is being elevated especially by the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the National Crime Victimization Survey, 2 million assaults and threats of violence against Americans in the workplace occur annually. $121 billion in annual losses due to workplace assaults, and 1 in 4 employees will be victimized. The pandemic is creating unpredictable behavior, and there are new forms of terrorism, including violent responses to conspiracy theories, xenophobic attacks, intentional virus spreading, and attacks for lack of social distancing. Founded in 2015, Vigilance Risk Solutions is a technology company that specializes in conflict and violence prevention. VRS has created a detailed free guide for how to safely transition people back to the workplace post-COVID-19 with compassion and support, which is a mental wellness health guide. The approach, informed by experts' advocates, is a phased approach taking into account the differing levels of traumas we've all been experiencing and responding to in different ways. Here today to talk more about this guide is founder and CEO of VRS, Ty Smith. And Ty, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
You bet, and good to have you out today. So if you would, tell us more about VRS and how and why it was founded, and give us a brief overview of your background to kick things off here today.
Sure. So at VRS, we do two things for our clients. You know, we're a technology company, so our model is a little different from most of our competitors who are primarily service businesses, but we continue to offer a unified conflict and violence prevention system, which combines our subject matter expertise, more than 76 certifications, over $100 million worth of training, with SaaS technology and web-based training, so that we can help our clients to identify and mitigate all of their known and unknown threats of conflict and violence, both within their company and outside of their company, protecting them from the three most damaging consequences of conflict and violence in the workplace, which are litigation, physical and psychological harm to employees, and then damage to the company's brand and reputation. I started VRS as I was ending a couple decade career in the Navy. I spent most of that time as an active duty Navy SEAL, you know, completing 6 combat tours in the Middle East. And so throughout my time in naval special warfare, personally, I learned a lot about human beings, human behavior, violence, the prevention of violence. And as I was preparing to retire from the Navy, I was you know, pretty much hired by the FBI. I'd been in the hiring process for about a year. That was always my plan, was to retire from the SEAL teams and move right over to the FBI. And unfortunately, that wasn't working out because I didn't want to leave Southern California. So I kind of went back to the drawing board. And I was in school. I was finishing up my MBV up at USC. And I was in class one day, and everybody's phones just started going crazy, and so did mine. And it was the day that the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California, was attacked by a radicalized Islamic couple, killed a bunch of people, ended in a dramatic shootout downtown San Bernardino with the SWAT team. And after that happened, you know, several of my wife's colleagues from the medical industry were calling me personally, asking for help and saying, "Hey, Ty, you know, we don't have any plans at the hospital. They're not giving us any training. We're scared. You're the only person that we know that understands this type of thing. So will you come and talk to us and give us some help?" And so after doing that several times, it was almost as if I could hear my University of Southern California, Marshall Business School entrepreneurship professors in the back of my mind saying, "Hey, man, the market is telling you what it needs right now from someone with your skill set." And so I started building the business, and that was almost 5 years ago.
Well, I'd say that's quite a background. Such an honor to have you with us, as you have served in our country in 4 tours in the Middle East, as you had mentioned, and quite a background. And not only that, but how everything led to creating VRS is quite interesting. Now, with the current climate, do you feel conflict and violence in the workplace is on the rise, or are they inflating these stats?
Absolutely. I think that the pandemic is causing an increase in conflict and violence in a workplace. And in the interim, we could be seeing conflict and violence in a workplace decrease very slightly, but that's primarily because of the stay-at-home orders. People aren't really going to work. So I think that over the next 60, 90 days, you know, we'll see things slow down a little bit and then they'll hit a plateau. But I think by Q3, Q4, we're going to see a sharp increase in conflict and violence in the workplace as we begin reopening the workplaces and allowing people to come back to brick and mortar locations to work. And I think that that's going to be a result of, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt within our workforce. People are afraid right now. People are stressed out. Companies are holding massive layoffs. You know, the employees that survive those layoffs, when they go back to work, you think they're going to be relaxed and everything is back to normal? No, they're still going to be worried about their jobs. So tensions are going to be really high in the workplace for a while. We have to consider the mental health of our employees. This is putting us all through a lot. One of my subject matter experts said something a couple of weeks ago that really resonated with me. He said, you know, every human being is going to come out of this lockdown, this COVID-19 pandemic with some form of PTSD. And I think he's absolutely right, because this is changing the way we all live. It's threatening the livelihood of a lot of people. And like you said, it's costing people jobs. So I think that we're going to see an increase in conflict and violence in the workplace as a result of this pandemic.
Unfortunately, I think you're totally correct in saying that. And some good information there as well. Tell us, what is VRS doing now in response to all this?
So we just released a guide to assist people with opening their workplaces back up and welcoming employees back to work with confidence and with compassion. And more than anything, you know, safety. We want people to come back to work and be back at work and feel safe while they're at work. So this guide will help organizational leadership to walk through the process of actually, you know, getting employees back at work safely and without any problems.
And I'd say that's quite a resource to make available. Today we are joined by Mr. Ty Smith, the founder and CEO of Vigilance Risk Solutions, or VRS, a technology company that specializes in conflict and violence prevention, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Ty, if you would, tell us more about this post-COVID-19 mental wellness guide.
Yeah, I think what it starts with more than anything for organizational leadership is organizational leadership has to, you know, we have to be really realistic regarding, you know, what we are expecting of our employees once we open up the workplace. You know, so that means that as leaders, we have to be extremely honest with our employees. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest regarding our expectations of employees as they come back into the workplace. So leaders have to be ready to open the workplace and allow people to come back to work, but they also have to be ready for those people to not be ready to work. And just because those people aren't really ready to work doesn't mean that we can't open the workplace. No, we absolutely need to do that, but we have to be realistic regarding our expectations once we do open the workplace. And then also we have to, you know, take into consideration what EAPs do we have in place that could lend assistance to employees right now. We have to consider that just because people come back to work doesn't mean that they're not leaving very, very serious problems at home that could spill over into the workplace. Like I said, a lot of people are facing a threat to their livelihood. You know, you could have a husband and wife at home, and maybe the husband kept his job, but the wife could have lost her job. What kind of stress is that creating at home? Could it be the preface for any kind of, the catalyst for any kind of domestic violence? Do we have to worry about any of that stress or that violence spilling over into the workplace? So we have to take a look at what are the programs that we have in place in order to help our employees to deal with and manage stress, in order to help our employees with the problems they could potentially have going on at home, in order to make sure that they feel comfortable at work and actually be leaving the house and coming to work.
Ty, my next question for you, can any organization implement this guide?
Absolutely. Any organization can implement this guide, because we're talking about a people problem. When you talk about workplace violence, and then also when you're talking about, you know, reopening the workplace post COVID-19, again, this comes down to human beings. So it doesn't matter what type of business, whether it's private, public, small business, middle market, large business. No, we're talking about how to treat human beings once we reopen the workplace.
It looks like we're certainly nearing that time for the workplace to be opened back up in most locations. Now, you talk about the unknown threat map. What is that threat map? And tell us more about that.
Right. So every organization faces what we call the unknown threat map. And that means that every organization, because again, conflict and violence in the workplace is a human being problem, not an organizational problem or an industry problem. So every organization has both known and unknown threats of conflict and violence within their company and outside of their company. A known threat could be that right now you have access control on one of the sides of your buildings is down, or on a specific wing or a door, and everybody knows about it, but no one's doing anything to actually get it fixed. Well, that presents a threat, because now you can have transients coming into your location. An unknown threat inside the company could be that there's a manager that's been sexually harassing female employees for months and no one knows about it yet. An unknown threat outside the company could be, you know, the domestic violence spillover that we just spoke about. Maybe there's an angry spouse sitting in his vehicle in a company parking lot right now, waiting on his spouse to leave the vehicle so that he can confront him, or the building so that he can confront him or her on company grounds. So every organization faces these known and unknown threats of conflict and violence, both within their company and outside of the company. We have to help them to identify all of those threats, because you can't mitigate those threats until you identify them.
Yeah, certainly a good point made right there. Now, do you believe every organization should implement some sort of firearms training, or is that overkill?
Well, it depends on your definition of firearms training. I don't believe that organizations should be training employees regarding the usage of firearms. I don't think organizations should be opening up workplaces to people actually carrying firearms or even stashing firearms in workplaces. And that's something that we have to worry about, Eric, because, you know, we've seen a sharp increase in firearm sales since the lockdown started. Since this COVID-19 threat has started, firearm sales are skyrocketing. The last thing we need are people bringing those firearms to work. Now, if you're talking about educating the workforce regarding some of the data that I just stated, like, hey, there has been a sharp increase in firearm sales, so everyone be a little more situationally aware, everyone be more vigilant. And by the way, we have a no firearms on premises policy that we want to remind everyone about, then sure.
Well, I think it's awesome what you have through VRS. Certainly have enjoyed getting up to date and up to speed per the industry, if you call it that. But who should be responsible at each company to ensure that these steps are being implemented, and what should companies do to ensure this guide is working?
Right. So this is something that has to start with leadership. This has to start from the top down. So as the CEO of my company, I am absolutely responsible for the safety and well-being of my employees, and I'm responsible for making sure that we're leading initiatives that are going to enhance the safety and well-being of my employees. So if the C-suite isn't reading this guide or something that's similar to this guide from other experts that are credible, then I think they're wrong. They should absolutely be forward-leaning and making sure that they understand the proper way to open up the workplace. You best believe that the chief human resources officer is going to be all over a guide like this, because they're really concerned with the safety and well-being of the people that are actually running the engine of the business.
Mr. Smith, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today during these unsure and difficult times. For other tips, and if companies want VRS's help, where can they go for more information?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach out to us anytime. You can visit the website at www.vigilancerisk.com. You can also reach us by emailing us at contactvrs@vigilancerisk.com. And feel free to look me up on LinkedIn, ty.smith31. I've got quite the following on there, and I'm always putting out free, valuable information regarding safety and getting people back into the workplace safely.
Again, Ty, all the best, and thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
And it was our pleasure and honor. We've been speaking with Mr. Ty Smith, the founder and CEO of Vigilance Risk Solutions, a technology company that specializes in conflict and violence prevention. And for all the details and for contact, visit VigilanceRisk.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.